gonna be laid back. Be cool, man. Click your fingers. It's radio fishing time. You know.
Cool cat, cool.
Yeah, it's just cool cat, cool. So, keeping with that theme, we have the cool master himself. We have Robert in the other chair. It's Fishing Frank here. Yes, and we're being cool. We're going to do an area fishing report. So, once you're done putting up with this nonsense, and shh, Frank, quiet. Okay, there you go. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to do an area fishing report. We're going to go around the harbor and figure out what's what and where's who what. Where are we going to start today, Robert? Let's start Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay. We're going to go like out to Lemon Bay first.
All right.
All right. Where are we going?
Well, the snook fishing out there has been incredible. Up and down along the intercoastal, under the docks, stump pass, along the beaches. I mean, it's really, really been on good. And from little snook of like 15 inches all the way up to here, we're hearing 40-plus inch snook all over the place.
Yeah.
It's been pretty incredible.
Now, I know that we've been hearing a little bit about some redfish. If you've got some of the open flats, look for the depressions, a little bit deeper spots, especially up by the mangroves, and you're going to find yourself some nice redfish there. Out along the passes, we're going to get into a little bit more snook. I mean, yeah. Going through Stump Pass and out along the beaches, we got snook.
Definitely. There's even been a few gags being caught up in some of those deeper depressions along those mangroves, too, with some fairly decent mangrove snapper. Not very many by any stretch, but a little better quality fish.
Yeah, but that's still really cool. Snappers, yeah. And gag grouper is open now, guys.
Right.
By the way, you can go out and you can catch your gag groupers. It's all legal. You know, they got to be legal size and your limits and all that stuff. Check on fishandfranks.com. Check the fishing laws and rules. It's all right on there under, I think it says fishing rules. I tried to hide it.
And subtle.
Subtle. Fishing rules. But there's the federal regs and the state regs. Everything's all right there on the fishing rules page. But gag grouper season is open. And why don't we just do, because it's opening, if I was going to do them, we're going to be covering over all the places that should have gag grouper. And
absolutely.
Coming right outside of Stump Pass, you go out, you've got the Palm Island Ferry out there. You got M13, M15, all those places got gags on them right now.
There's a couple rubble piles, too, I think you have on the website, too, that are out in that area. I don't know if they have specific names other than just rubble piles.
Yeah, there's all kinds. And, I mean, the gag grouper, you don't have to go deep for these guys. You're going to catch keepers often in the passes. Plus, as you get out, the closer the reef, the better it is right now. As the season progresses, you're going to have to travel further and further as more of the big ones are taken.
Right.
But for right now, get your buns out to the close reef. Don't go to the big, deep ones. Do that later in the season. Right now, check all the near shore reefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And any little tiny patchy hard bottom tends to hold them too. I mean, they're not as heavily structure oriented as say red grouper are. You know, all they need is some small depressions,
Mary's,
some small hard Power bottoms.
Poles, Helen's, Charlotte Reef. I mean, if you're going to go way out, go ahead. But I'd be making the short runs and banging the snappers, getting those. You're going to get a few keeper gag groupers out of there. Probably enough to limit out at each one of the reefs.
Yeah, absolutely. So you might have to move around a little bit, but you don't have to move all over the place. You don't have to burn 100 gallons of gas to go out there and chase them right now.
And the cool thing is there's plenty of bonita real close to shore. You can catch onto the bonita, watch them boil up. There's bonita out there. There's some blackfin tuna that have been coming close and going way back out. You've got some Spanish mackerel out in there. Not much for king mackerel lately.
No,
but
just a few oddballs. Also a little dolphin, some sailfish out there a little bit further ways out, but it wouldn't surprise me if they start moving in because there's scaled sardines out there. There's Spanish sardines. There's some white bait, thread fins. I mean, there's a lot of different life out there anywhere from 15 miles in.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of bait fish out there in the Gulf right now, and which is a great sign.
It's a good sign of life.
Yeah, good sign. And if you get out a little bit further, the blackfin tuna out there. You've got some mahi-mahi out there. Sailfish, boys and girls. If you want to catch your sailfish, now is the time to head out there. Gag grouper's open. You can go out. You get your snapper, your grouper, and possibly, you know, just trip into that sailfish.
Absolutely.
There's enough of them out there where you got better than 50-50 shot of getting that sailfish. Now, the prominent out 35, 40 miles, but we've heard them as close in as 3 miles. So don't think you got to go. If you're in the Gulf at all, watch for the sailfish. They are here, and now is the time. So keep checking on that sailfish.
And have a smaller bait ready for it, because, I mean, you could be out there either drifting or trolling along or even looking for tarpon, for that matter, and have one come swimming up around some of those pods of bait.
Yeah.
But if you have a big thread fin or a crab on, they're not going to touch it. You need something a little bit smaller to entice them.
You want to picture the same thing as what you'd throw for a redfish or a smaller snook, you know, maybe even a trout. It's funny how often fish out in the Gulf are going to go for that smaller bait, triple tail. They don't eat the big stuff. You got to have tiny bonita.
Yeah.
I use the tiniest spoons I've got, as heavy and as small as possible.
Yeah, I like the gotchas for them.
Yeah.
Now, they work well.
Along the beaches, the tarpon is really weird, and we're probably going to be wrong about this, and even if we're right about it now, we'll probably be wrong about it tomorrow, because everything's changing really quick. Something about a moon coming up?
Yeah, the full moon, I think, is about 10 days away, but it's building pretty good, and this is like probably the month of one of our strongest tides. So each day changes a lot out there along the beaches with each tide.
I'm going to
say, ripping harder and harder.
From Venice down to Little Gasparilla Pass is probably the least good right now.
Right.
From Gasparilla Pass to Boca, probably very good.
Very good.
Now from Boca to Captiva.
Very good.
Now Captiva to Redfish.
Starts to slow down a little bit, and then it starts to pick up just on the other side of the Caloosahatchee from Caloosahatchee through Fort Myers Beach, starting to pick up again too.
So seeing a lot of tarpon down there.
Yeah.
How about that point right at Ponarasa? That's been kind of hit or miss.
Very,
if it's good,
miss.
It's really good. If it's not, it's really bad.
Yeah, it's been bizarre down there, like all Knapp's Point, Ponarasa. If it's on, it's been on fire, but other times there's 1,000 fish around just flipping you the tail.
Alright. Right now you're either gonna need a Rapala X Wrap 08 OG or the Storm Twitch. And this is for walking the beach anywhere in South Florida right now.
Oh, yeah.
You just walk out, get out about knee-deep water, turn left or right, start throwing the lure. You want to stay within 2 feet to 10 feet of the shore. Keep your cast close to the shore, and you will catch snook. You're going to catch anything from 12 inches to 50 inches.
Absolutely.
And I mean, the chances of that 38, 40 inch fish, the one you waited your whole life for, really good right now.
Yeah,
really
good. And that's night or day. Guys are catching some really big fish during the daytime, which is normally, it's more attributed to a night fishery for big snook out there on those beaches, but we're hearing so many fish in that 40 to 44 inch range during the daytime.
Yeah, it's great right now. And the 08 Rapala is a little tiny one, guys. You can go up to the 10, you can go down to the 6, but I'm going to call the 08.
I think that's a perfect size. We were out there on Saturday at the beach, and that was almost ideal size of the bait fish that were swimming around along the beach.
I'm going to think the 10's a little big. I'm going to stick with the 8.
If I was at night, I might jump up to the 10.
Right. But now you can throw a mirror lure, like a TT18 would be really good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an MR17. MR17 would be good, but I'd want it flashy. I'd want something with some, like the broken glass silver, something like that. I'd want that a little flashier. The other ones, I think I'm going to stay with the white and green, that type of
thing. Yeah, I'm going to stick with the more natural. I like the white color a lot, and then that olive green color.
But if I was going to go an MR17, I think I'd want it flashy.
Yeah,
don't
that
know why,
silver
because
broken glass would be the one I'd have to stick with.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm just kind of thinking white in the ones and then getting to that mirror lure going to silver.
Yeah.
But if you want your snook, if you want to catch that, just have a ball. It's a bass that somebody fed crack and amphetamines to, and it's just crazy. I mean, this thing's going to come up, and until they're about 35 inches, they'll come completely out of the water and do the whole tail dance for you.
Absolutely.
Once they get up close to 40, I think it's even more cool, because they get that head out of the water, but she just can't get her big butt out of the water.
Right.
So throwing the head back and forth, and you're going to hear the gill plates and the covering of the gill plates just slapping back and forth, brrrap, brrrap, and the big splashing. It's
well, and they're just kissing amazing. The water's edge, too. So, I mean, just picture taking a fan and rubbing it just across the surface of the water, and it's kind of
Oh, that's cool.
It's really very cool. Very cool.
So, anyway, that's walk along the beach. You don't need to do more than that, guys. I would do it. There's probably some pompano out there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, probably some whiting and other stuff. Who cares? Go catch your big snook.
Right.
You know, just don't care right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And Gasparilla Pass, occasional tarpon, a lot of snapper.
A lot of snapper. Some, yeah, like you said, the tarpon. There's been some bigger redfish moving in and out of there, especially like right at first light in the morning and then at night. There's been some 30 to 35 inch bull reds cruising through there.
Let's jump down to Captiva.
Captiva is kind of the same thing. There's been some big bull reds cruising in and out of there. A lot of nice mangrove snapper.
I'm going to call Captiva best place to catch a legal gag grouper.
Absolutely.
I would say Captiva is my number one bet to catch a legal gag grouper.
Absolutely.
Now, from going down the redfish pass?
From right at the mouth of the pass, just inside, all the way out to that buoy.
On Captiva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And especially about 100 yards before that buoy seems to be a real good spot. It's just a weird, rubbly.
The turn marker buoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you're going down to redfish, what do we got in redfish?
Snook. All those snook down there right now are just crazy from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and it's got to be off.
I would love to be down there to see that again. It's been 10 years since I've seen it personally. But
got to get down there. It's a long ride, but we'll have to make it.
It's awesome.
As soon as I get my boat running good, we'll take the Dream Machine down.
That'll be awesome.
Now, going down to Punarasa, I know we got occasional tarpon, probably. I know it's got to be loaded up with snook. It's just a given.
Exactly. There's some bigger bull reds underneath those docks and the snook. I'm not hearing a lot of reports of the tarpon or the sharks, but they've got to be down there because, I mean, they're scattered up and down the whole intercoastal, for that matter. So, and if you get out into some of those little deeper grass flats, there are some trout, but you're going to really work hard for them. It's just getting too warm for them to be in any consistent numbers.
All right. Now, coming back up to Boca Grande Pass, I saved it because there's actually a little bit of stuff to talk about there because the tarpon are doing weird stuff and you got a lot of snappers. There's gag grouper there. We've got a few Spanish and stuff. But what's up? The big story still is tarpon. What's going on there?
Well, the tarpon are moving up and down the beaches and in the intercoastal. You know, they're getting ready for this their last spawn, really. So they're kind of in a pre-spawn mode. So they're moving kind of at the edges of the passes and staying right along the edges, not so much in the center. Few little oddball isolated groups coming through, but in the pass itself you got your big snapper going on around the phosphate dock, is going off with the snook, some snapper, a few spade fish,
big old jewfish underneath the phosphate dock.
There's even been some cudas hanging out there, actually like 4 and 5 footers just hanging out. Nobody seems to ever hook any cudas there for some odd reason.
I guess it's big eyes. They'd have to see everything.
Yeah,
I mean, they just, you know, going to look at you and go, that's a lure. What do you think? I'm stupid?
Yeah, everyone thinks cudas are really stupid, but how many reefs do you pull up and there's 500 cudas sitting on the surface and you can throw the best bait in the world at them and they don't touch it?
They don't even, No, I'm not stupid. I don't want to do that. If you get them away from the boat and you throw the tubes at them, but you got to be back a ways. Once you really start seeing them, it's really hard to get them to hook up.
Absolutely.
When you don't see them, you actually can catch them fairly easily.
Yeah.
But I think they're a lot like a snook. I think they just get it.
Yeah.
What? You're a person? I'm not going to run. You know, you might throw me something good, but I ain't eating nothing with a hook in it.
Right, exactly. Along the edge of the channel out towards the bell buoys, there's been a few cobia and Spanish mackerel kind of moving in and out because there's a lot of thread fins and some small white bait out there around all the channel markers working your way out.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to jump from one to the other to find that particular little spot where they're at. It's not great numbers, but there are some fish there.
That's cool. And sabiki's working great out in the Gulf right now. If you're close to the Gulf and you want bait, swing out there. You got Spanish sardines and thread fins and white bait and everything. It's all right there along the beaches, and you can sabiki all of it up.
Oh.
And it's you can't use a cast net.
You know what
there.
Else we've overlooked too is what I've been hearing about is some giant blue runners out there lately.
Really?
Big ones. I mean, I've had 4 or 5 guys come in and show me pictures that they think is a jack, but they're not sure. They're catching like 15 to 20 inch blue runners.
That's huge.
I mean, big.
6-8 inches is about average on a blue runner. I mean, you
get
the biggest
one
nice
I've ever seen is like
12.
10.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen giant ones, and these are blue runners, like legitimate. You can see the guy holding it in his hand, and they look like they're a pound and a half. I mean,
that's
they're
big on a blue runner. Real big.
Yeah.
you know, they're primarily using for bait. I go out there with the 06 Rapalas, maybe the 222 Maverick, which is getting a little bit big, but not too bad.
Right.
But,
just a little spoon for me, because yeah. I really can't catch anything over 10 inches, so I need little stuff.
Oh, little. That's
the story of my life.
Yeah, little stuff out there. Working our way up, we were talking about Lemon Bay, went down the beaches. What's going on in Placida? Gasparilla Sound, Placida?
Placida's been really, really, been hit or miss, but it's been consistent. It's not terrible, but it hasn't been on fire. Daytime, there's been a lot of small sharks, bonnet heads and black nose, a few Atlantic sharp nose, some good mangrove snapper during the day, but the mangrove snapper at night seemed to increase by a couple, 2 or 3 inches. They're getting them up to like 14 inches off there at night. Both.
I wish that had happened to me.
Yeah.
Never mind. Never mind.
On the Placida Pier and especially the South Pier. Seems
well, you
like
went on the and I was like, wait a minute. No.
Yep.
New rules for the show.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, on Placida, mangrove snappers.
The snook at night have been good. There's been some big bull reds moving in and out of there at night. A few occasional tarpon. Most guys are hearing them and seeing them blowing up, not hooking too many, but better tarpon.
I think they just need to, you know, go back to basics, start tossing the rattle traps at them.
Right.
I think they're using too much new wave, new age technology and not hitting it basic enough.
Try cut bait.
Yeah, cut bait, a rattle trap, go old school. Don't try all this new wave stuff. Sometimes it's great, but yeah.
Sometimes simple is a lot better.
And tarpon seem to like it noisy right now. I think compensation, maybe out there Placida, because it's so much quieter, you might want to go to the bomber. Like a 16 bomber,
right?
But you know, I would start with my rattle trap.
Yeah,
I really would.
The rattle trap would be a real good one.
And then coming down the intercoastal through the tailing flats, we got Three Sisters on the north side. I know there's a lot of snook on the docks on the backside of Boca on the intercoastal side.
Yeah, and even those canals are holding a lot of gag grouper too, and some bigger black drum. You know, the snook are just literally in the canals, in the basin there, all the way out along the island from basically Captain Harry's, or not Captain Harry's, Uncle Henry's. How am I doing? Uncle Henry's all the way down to the
Miller's Phosphate Dock. Three Sisters.
Yeah.
Three Sisters has got some trout out around on the flats. You find a little bit deeper water, you're going to find a few trout. Not lots, but nice trout. And Three Sisters on the end of that peninsula is just loaded with snook right now. Just go to the north end, right along that beach, or right on the backside. There's a gazillion snook to play with there.
Yeah.
But coming down to the phosphate dock, we got giant Goliath, Jewfish. You've got some sharks out there, some ladyfish, blue runners, and
a lot of small jacks, and obviously the big snook. But the big bull reds have been moving in and out of there at night once it gets dark.
Catch one of those jacks or the blue runners, anything around 10, 12 inches long or less. Hook it on the rod, drop it down to the bottom, hang on.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the cool part is with those, that size, it could be a snook. It could be a big redfish. More than likely, it's going to be a big Jewfish, Goliath grouper.
Big Goliath, big shark. But we're talking 200 to 400 pound fish hitting that bait. And if you put just a little bit of weight on it, say an ounce or two, when that Goliath goes after him, he will come to the top to outrun that Goliath.
Oh, yeah.
And he's swimming like crazy, and all of a sudden he's skipping across the top of the water, and then that Goliath comes and plucks him off like a...
I'd love to see that.
Just a, it looks like a trout after a topwater lure. Just
I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah. Too cool.
That would be
way
really
too cool.
I mean, can you imagine the size of that footprint in the water from that? That's got to be terrifying.
Boom.
Yeah. I mean, that'd just be awesome.
Boom. They got a really weird sound when you're underwater and you're diving and you come up to one of these, you know, 400, 600 pound fish. He doesn't appreciate you being there, and he kind of opens up and he makes this boop sound. But if you literally feel the blast of water, he just spits this massive amount of water and just pushes you back.
Really?
I mean, it's just like a concussion.
I've heard of it, but I didn't know how they did it.
Yeah, they just basically they're spitting the water at you. They kind of get a big thing of water and then just blow it out like, you know. Yeah, but it's real quick, but it's pretty forceful.
Wow.
I mean, it's not going to knock you back or knock you out or anything, but you definitely know
enough
you were
going to feel it.
You were told, I don't like you here, you know.
Yeah. So, no, that would spook me big time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see it, but I'm a chicken of the water anyway.
Bark, 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 bark.
Oh, big time.
Chicken Man, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. I don't think I can get a copyright infringement on that. That was back in the 70s. I think he's been off the air for 30 years.
That's funny.
So, yeah, we used to be one of those little mini radio shows, like 30-second clips. We all used to listen in to Chicken Man. So now you have Fish Man. Fish
nice.
Man.
Nice. There you go.
Bloop, 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 bloop. Okay. Here we go.
Some wonderful sound effects today.
Yes. Yes, we need to have this recorded sound. Anyway, coming back up, we were around Boca, so let's just drop into Pine Island Sound. What's going on there?
Pine Island Sound around Patricio and Cabbage Key, all that stuff right there, is they're doing real well on snook and redfish up on along the bushes in the island. If you get out into that little bit deeper water along the edge of the intercoastal, there's a lot of different size sharks. I mean, literally from 2-footers to 7-footers. Some scattered tarpon up and down inside there. Those tarpon right there from Patricio down to Captiva Pass are not getting beat up at all. They're kind of used
Everybody's
to the boat traffic.
On the outside.
Yeah, everyone's used to, or they're used to the boat traffic coming through real quick, so it doesn't seem to faze them as much. You get right along the edges of that deeper water, and they seem to be pretty happy fish.
Now, if you're unfamiliar with the intercoastal there, you can be in 15 feet of water, move to the side, you'll be in 2-3 feet of water, and you can sit right on that edge and fish back into the
Absolutely.
Intercoastal.
And there's a lot of
it's not like
deeper
it's gradual.
Troughs that are not really pass-throughs for a lot of people. You know, only a handful of people actually utilize them, so those fish will sit right on those little points there where it goes into the main ICW to those side troughs that are going
Right.
You know, east-west.
Yeah, because everybody kind of hugs the channel. Unless you're very familiar with the area, you want to stay in the ICW.
Yeah.
You get out of it, you can go to nothing real quick.
Yeah, it can get dangerous real quick down in there, especially with some of those oyster bars also. There's not just sandbars to worry about. Those oyster patches get kind of terrifying.
Yeah. I've launched a boat into, you know, look like one of those chase movies.
Little Dukes
know.
Of Hazzard going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard, where the whole boat's out of the water and until the motor hits and it slam, the nose goes back in. Oh, wow. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great no. time had by nobody.
No, it makes it fun, you know. You all of a sudden you skip along, then you're airborne, then you're not. You know. But anyway, coming back up around in Jug Creek, there's still some bait there. If anybody looking for bait, I would say Jug Creek, Devilfish, Placida, three better bets for trying to catch bait right now.
Just make sure you're taking the time to actually look at the bait, because there is a lot of scattered little stuff around. You know, so before you really
try and find something big enough to use.
Yeah.
Let them spawn. I was going to say let them breed, but I don't know if that sounded too good.
Breed, spawn.
Let them spawn.
Yeah, give them one chance, you know. And like you said, what, 6 months?
LTS, let them spawn.
What is it?
4 to 6 months before they reach breeding size.
Right, which is longer than we thought.
Yeah, I would have thought it was quicker than that. They only live a year and a half, 2 years.
Really?
So, you know, once they hit about 4 or 5 inches long, they've spawned all good. You can take them. They're not going to live that much longer anyway, and there's no problem taking them. But we need to let them spawn once.
Absolutely.
But anyway, coming back up, Bull Bay right there, you've got some trout out in the middle there, a few snappers along the edge, oddball sheephead too, but big snook back up in there, some nice redfish.
Yeah, a lot of big snook, especially at the mouths on both sides of Ko Palau there. You know, there's been some pretty good fish there. The redfish seem to be scattered in sizes. A lot of little guys towards the back by those fish houses or fish boats or whatever you want to call them.
But with
them.
The redfish, you're going to be going along and trolling motor dead slow, casting. You need to be presenting a shrimp, a white bait, a lure, whatever it is, every 2-3 feet along those till you find some.
Yeah.
Because
and back in there, you got to be real careful with them too, because that water is so darn warm that those fish really exert quite a bit of energy, and it doesn't take much to wipe them out. You know, you got to take an extra 2 or 3 minutes to resuscitate that fish, even though you feel that he's fired up.
Hold them still next to the boat. Don't shake them or jerk them around. You know, just the whole idea is to relax the fish. And the more you're sloshing them back and forth, the less relaxing of an experience this is. Exactly. So if you're going to release them, take your time. Remember, there's not a lot of oxygen in hot water. So it's just like you. You want to relax after that fight, but that's not what you get to do. You get to hold that fish until he decides to leave.
Right.
A redfish, most of the time, I'll just hold him kind of by the where the tail meets the body. On a snook, I just hold him by the lip. but right. I don't do a lot of thrashing or moving around, and it's really much better. And if you're shaking your fish back and forth, you're making the whole experience last too long. Give them time to relax.
And you can feel it. I mean, when you're holding a fish, you can feel when they start to get more relaxed. I mean, every fish, if you just take an extra second to be observant, you can actually feel those fish kind of start to relax and limp up and get better.
But if the more you're swishing them around, the more you're agitating that fish, the less likely it is to relax, the longer it's going to take to revive. So just kind of hang them there, just relax, just hold them there, have a conversation. Good time to have a soda, relax after your fight, just hold them on the side of the boat. Coming over into Turtle Bay, the Eagle's Nest has got a lot of snook over by it. There's a little bit of fish out through the middle there on Turtle Bay in that 4 to 5 foot of water, but not as much as I don't think it's really worth going out and spending the time drifting around for.
No.
I'd hit either the Eagle's Nest or come right over to the mouth. If you head in the back of it, get under the shady side of the mangroves. That's where you're going to find your redfish. If the sun's still on the east side, that western shore is not going to have redfish on it. They're going to be on the east side. If it's later in the day and the sun's towards the west, fish the west side. They're looking for the shade. Yeah. It's getting hot. But the mouth of Turtle Bay is doing real good. What's going on Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes has been really pretty sporadic, but in a good way. There's been some pompano there, a lot of miscellaneous sharks, of mostly on the smaller side. A few oddball cobia cruising along it. There's been some good, not big spade fish, but a lot of numbers of spade fish right out there by marker 5 out towards the point there. Some scattered trout, Spanish mackerel, kind of a mixed mash of stuff. It's just not setting the world on fire, but it's consistent.
Now, coming up the west side of the harbor, we've still got 2 feet of extra water. Arcadia right now is about 4 feet. The river's about 4 feet in Arcadia, which means we got 2 foot wall of water coming down the river constantly. Slows down in the incoming tide and rips. I mean, it's a toilet flush on the outgoing tide.
Yeah,
it was up to about 5 foot. Now it's down to about 4. But with that tropical storm sitting off over there in the Atlantic, they should be getting more rains. And remember, it's not the rain here that affects the Peace River. It's what goes on from Arcadia north. And the Peace River goes almost all the way to Orlando. So we're going to see some increases in the Peace River here in a very short time.
Absolutely.
And not to mention, we have the Myakka River flowing in, the Caloosahatchee at the lower end. We got 3 major rivers that dump into the harbor. And that might be where that funky algae is coming from, is just a lot of different runoff. And I know they blame Okeechobee for everything, but there's 2 other major rivers dump in here.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, but that was coming up the west side. More redfish on the southern end. For some reason, out of that south end of the, from the tower south, more redfish from the towers north, more snook.
A lot of juvenile tarpon, too, scattered up through there.
Really? Outside the bar or inside?
Inside.
Inside the bar.
Inside along the bushes up to cattle dock.
Wow.
I guess my nephew's been catching some little, you know, like 2 to 6 pounders.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. I don't know how far south he's going, but he's going south of Cattle Dock.
Right.
He's been doing pretty well. My uncle was talked to him earlier and telling me about it, and he's been pretty consistent.
Well, that's great.
And then on the outside edge of the bar there, there's been some bigger tarpon, some bigger sharks, and a lot of small sharks. A few oddball cobia cruising along the top there, but you just got to be diligent and watch for them.
Going up the Myakka River, kind of working that same thing towards the mouth of the river. Nothing real consistent. You and the fish both got to show up at the same time.
Right.
But if once it gets dark, the lights from the bridge at Algebeen are bringing in the tarpon. The snook are firing up. Still got some big snappers right at the base of the pier. So don't fish out for the snappers. Fish straight down.
Absolutely.
And you're going to do way better because they like that structure. They like the piling. If you got to fish out, you got to make the cast. Try and cast right next to the bridge pilings.
Yeah,
and you got a shot at some drum, snook, big snappers.
Yeah, an occasional bigger trout. You know, the thing is with Algebeen compared to, like, say, the Peace River, Algebeen creates its own micro environment because you got all those structures so close together, and it's a very narrow pinch point.
Two
right
big bridges, piers coming in from both sides. There's for every piling you see, there's got to be 8 you don't see.
Absolutely.
Because every time they rebuilt the railroad bridge, which was turned into a fishing pier, every time they redid that, they never pulled the old pilings out. They just sistered up next to them. They just kept going right next to the one, next to the one, next to the one, inside, outside. And 100 years of putting pilings in, probably every 20 years they had to redo the pilings.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a lot of pilings down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's one of the things that helps create that unusual water flow. It hits the trestles or the piers and goes towards the center and funnels out through that center. If there wasn't so many underwater pilings there, that water would rush right through there. But it doesn't, and that's because of the stuff you don't see.
Yeah, it creates a lot of little eddies and weird currents and stuff. It's a pretty spectacular place to fish.
Getting back up in the Myakka Cutoff, we got some redfish up in there. No great numbers. Fishable, if you want to avoid the crowds, is a great place to go because it's good, but nowhere near great.
It's a peaceful place to be.
It's just really quiet, pretty area nice. Back there. Huge monster snook when you get back up in some of those little creeks. And I mean snook that will wrestle you.
Yeah.
Big stuff. 40 plus inches. Not tremendous numbers, but fishable numbers. If you're really looking for that big, you know, trying to break the record, world record snook, it's probably hiding in the Myakka Cutoff right now.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Alligator Bay doing okay. We've got some snook, some redfish mixed here and there. Not a lot of schoolie fish, though. Not much for some. Once it gets towards evening, got a lot of ladyfish moving
in. Right, ladyfish, a few oddball jacks, some small mangrove snapper. It's mainly been an evening bite more than anything else. You know, it's
back
it's
through the Port Charlotte canals. There's a little bit of Goliath grouper. No gags over here. I've heard of some Jewfish back here in the canals. A lot of snook. I mean, snook fishing is going crazy back in the canals. Some black drum, a few snappers. Not a lot of real mixed fish. We're getting in that kind of transition period where the canals are slowing down.
Right.
And I think even the fish that are there, the sheephead, the snappers and stuff, are slowing down on the bite.
Hearing of a few sand bream here and there. You know, that always seems to perk up for that little span of a couple weeks there when you get that real transition of fresh water flushing out. And I think it's just pushing them out of those back canals. And
I wouldn't be surprised by schools of tilapia either. Those tilapia don't seem to mind that little bit of salt. And they just, we've had them back behind the house. So there is a lot of tilapia around right now. I don't know what besides a shotgun is going to get them. But, you know, small little spinners, crappie lures, beetle spins. Tilapia really seem to like beetle spins a lot.
That little power bait, dough bait, a couple of guys have been coming in and buying that and doing fairly well on it, too.
Yeah, the dough bait, the catfish baits, all putting little pieces on number 6 hooks, number 8 hooks, and the tilapia seemed to go for that. Yeah. I didn't realize there were such hardcore meat eaters.
No, I didn't know that either. I thought they were primarily vegetarians.
Yeah, I know. They seem to really like the meat. Maybe they were vegetarians wherever they were originally from, but here in Florida, like those carp in Illinois.
Right.
The only place in the world they jump. Yeah. And hit you while you're driving the boat is in Illinois. They don't do it in where they're from. They don't do it in other parts of the river, but there they do it.
Yeah.
What an unusual thing.
It is. It's really, really strange.
So, anyway, coming back around, going up the Peace River, we got a lot of tarpon up on the river. It's sometimes hard to find them, and you're going to find them up there everywhere from 1 pound to 150 pounds. Average, probably right now, I'd say 60.
Right.
But there is some little tiny ones and some monsters up there. Average tarpon in Peace River right now is probably around 60 pounds. And we're going to call that all the way from 41 all the way up the river to hit Arcadia.
Yeah.
Some snook. Once you get up past Horse Creek, the bass fishing's picking up there. Heard some nice bass reports. Mostly purples are doing really good right now up there. The water's really dark. So golds, purples. If you're not going to do that, go something really bright like a chartreuse or a white.
And go slow going up there once you get past the water treatment plant. Jeff said he went up there and it was quite a few different trees moving around and stuff. Some of the bigger trees that he was used to that were sitting there in their normal spots have shifted a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of the current's going to change. Every year the wood rots a little bit. The trees move back and forth. You get new snags in the water. It's not like running the harbor. It's not as safe. If you're going upriver, be prepared. When I went up the last time, and I made sure I took the push pole because I had to push pole over a tree to get where I was going. I mean, we came up against it going real slow and shut the motor off, tilted it, got the push pole and pushed the boat over the tree onto the other side to keep going. But you know, you got to watch yourself when you work rivers.
Absolutely,
it's not like the open harbor,
especially during the rainy season.
So anyway, coming back down, 41's doing pretty good. A lot of snook, a little bit of tarpon, but I'd say you got 30-40%. You go there to get a tarpon, you're going to get one.
Yeah, and it's, you know, in the morning has been the major feed for them, without a doubt. It's been the early morning. You need to be
I'll give you 60-70% in the morning.
First light, and then at night, it's been one day's good, and then the next 2 days are really terrible, and then next day's okay, but it's not gangbusters by any stretch.
But coming back up into PGI canals, a lot of tarpon back in there.
A lot of tarpon, a lot of big snook still. I mean, a whole lot of big snook. Just like you were saying about possible record over there in the Myakka Cutoff, there's a very possibility that there could be, or there probably is a record over
there
in PGI too.
I would say there's definitely a world record snook somewhere in the PGI system.
Bass Inlet's had some really big fish blowing up in there at night.
Back by the Yacht Club, oh my God, there's some monster fish. Colony Point. Yeah, there's some monster fish over there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's
Ponce de Leon Park's pretty slow, though. I don't understand what's up with that.
It's been weird all year. I mean, the mangrove snapper bite's been off. The black drum bite's been off. I mean, everything about it's been really, really odd.
Yeah, I don't get what's going on with Ponce. I mean, so many canals dump out right there. They get so much water flow. It's usually the most consistent fishing in the area.
It's never
going to
always
Ponce.
Big fish, but there's always consistent fish of a variety of species.
Yeah,
one day it's sheephead, the next day it's mangrove.
Sandburn, mangroves,
I mean,
snook, redfish, trout,
some day it's
jacks.
A combination of all of it. You know, it's,
but
it's
this
really
year's
bizarre.
Been weird.
It has been.
I really like Ponce to settle down. It's kind of spooky when that.
It is.
But going down along the side, some nice snook down around Mangrove Point, the whorehouse there. If you're going around into the skating rink, not a lot over there right now. For some reason, the skating rink should be holding some really nice redfish, great snook. Haven't heard anything about it. Alligator Creek doing fair. Few trout. Nothing special, but a couple. Some big snook back up inside. A more smaller snook closer to the mouth around a little island. But going back down the flats on the east side, what's happening there?
The snook are scattered throughout the whole thing. It seems like there's fish out along the edges of the islands, and then there's some bigger snook on the back sides of those islands and up in some of the bays. The redfish are starting to move south a little bit more, so you're finding them more predominantly on the outside edges or out on the open flats in some of those deeper sand holes. A lot of small sharks scattered literally from Alligator Creek all the way down to Burnt Store. Few tarpon hanging out there, incidental cobia along the way. There has been a lot of silver trout around from the halfway point between Alligator Creek and Pirate Harbor. You know, I don't know what you would
just
consider that spot.
Keep going all the way down to towards Mount Lachey. Let's wrap that up.
Okay. There's a lot of snook around the islands right there at Burnt Store and Hobbs Point. That creek going into Hobbs Point, there's been some good
snook. Oh, Burnt Store Marina's got so many snook in it, it's unbelievable.
Oh, I know.
I mean manatees.
The basin, it's unbelievable.
If you want to see manatees, go to Burnt Store Marina. It's loaded with manatees and big snook.
Why is it that they move in there every summer like that? It's funny that the manatees always move into that basin throughout the summertime.
It's one of the few really deep basins. It's the deepest marina basin we have.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's deeper than any of the other ones. We don't have many basins here.
Right.
And Burnt Store, very deep marina basin, and it's got the water. They can hang out. It's cooler, and it's easy access out to the flats and grass and all that other stuff. And so,
just surprises me.
The water depth.
They're always in there. Going down just south of Burnt Store there along the bushes, a lot of smaller snook. If you move out to a little bit deeper water, you know, you got the bushes and a little bit of a trough, then it comes up to that sandbar.
It is a little bit of trough. When you're talking deeper, you're talking 4 to 6 inches deeper than everything else.
But those bigger snook are actually hanging out on the inside edge of that bar.
Wow.
There's a couple schools of them hanging out all along there with some scattered redfish on the outside edge of the bar. Basically, between the bar and over towards Boquilla, there's been some tarpon, a lot of miscellaneous sharks, and there again some bigger silver trout. You know, they
I always like to see the silver trout. I don't know why. they're never really prevalent here, but the more I see them, the better I feel about the water.
Right, and it's weird because they seem to hold together in a much tighter school than regular trout. It's like when you bang one, you usually bang 6 to 20 of them.
I think the difference to me would be is that they stay in the school all year. Right. With a trout, you get the big schools in the winter, but when summertime comes, they got singles, doubles, triples. Right. But the silver trout, whatever, whoever they're with, they just stay together the whole time. They don't break up and, okay, it's wintertime, let's get a bunch of us together. It's summertime, you know, we're going to go travel by ourselves. They that just seem sense. To stay with the together.
Why you is can, it that you only catch them, though, pretty much out there in that deeper water, like 6 to 20 feet of water, but you hardly ever catch one up on the flats?
They're smarter than a sea trout.
I guess.
The silver trout go up right where the big predators are. The silver trout's like that open water. Silver trout, they get a purple mouth. You're going to see purple on them, that lavender purple color.
Yeah.
Help you identify which ones they are. They have the same Dracula fangs as the spotted sea trout, but there's no size or bag limit. But always keep in mind, if it's not big enough where you're not going to get, you know, a fillet out of it, leave it alone.
Right.
I saw a guy one time with like 8-10 inch, you know, silver trout. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, what are you going to do with that? Yeah. Saltine cracker.
Yeah, yeah. So a fillet and a Ritz. But anyway, yeah. Coming back up, and we're in the harbor now. We've got the deep holes. We got the gravel bars to the south. What's going on, like, just inside of Boca Grande Pass? Let's start at the hill and work our way up through into the harbor.
Okay. The right there on the hill, the tarpon have been there off and on pretty regularly. Scattered sharks. Mostly on the medium size, you know, what I would call like the 5 to 7 foot range. If you move to the north or the south just a little tiny bit, there's more consistent numbers of smaller sharks. And right on top of the hill, there's a lot of small sharks also in that like 3 to 4 foot range. Yeah. of assorted sizes. Come up and go across towards, you know,
the gravel bars out there, the Lugie's Lair.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, you like that one, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Caught me off guard big time.
Okay.
But the gravel bars there, the silver trout, a lot of small miscellaneous sharks. Spade fish have been hanging out around marker 4, 6, and 5. 5 in particular has had a lot of spade fish, a lot of butterfish hanging out around our Atlantic bumper, whatever you want to call them. A lot of skipjacks, a few incidental cobia. A little bit of sharks here and there, but they've been literally hit or miss on all three of those spots there. And that right there at that water line where the salt really meets the fresh, it seems to go right there from Cape Hayes over to Burnt Store.
Yep.
It's a good turbulent section, but it's been mainly some bait fish and a few oddball incidentals, but it hasn't been consistent the way it normally is. And I think it's just because we're just at that point where it's ready to roll over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love it because you're heading down the harbor, brown water, brown water, brown water, green water.
Yeah. I mean, it's a trip.
Right there. It's, I mean, not it's like, okay, it's going to get clearer and clearer and clearer as I go. And it kind of does, but you literally see the line.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got in salt water again. I'm out of the harbor. I'm into the Gulf water.
Yeah. And it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool to see.
Literally, the whole thing happens over 10, 20 feet.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the dividing line, and there's that name for what it does there, and I can never remember where it rolls towards each other, but, you know, you've got just about 10 to 20 feet where you got brown water on one side and blue-green water on the other.
That's cool.
It's just cool.
That's really
cool. Very cool. But getting up to the Pirate Harbor hole, what's going on?
Pirate Harbor hole, it's got some tarpon in it. They're not rolling a whole lot, but they are there. There's a lot of small sharks of assorted sizes. There's been a few bigger sharks. There have been some 6 and 7 foot bull sharks around. Lots and lots and lots of catfish. I mean, the catfish this year have been very, very, very plentiful. Yeah, there is no shortage of catfish this year if anyone's looking for them.
And then if you want to continue playing with the kitty cats, head to the middle hole or the 20-foot hole.
Exactly. Now, occasionally you will get some gag grouper in both that middle 20-foot hole and the upper part of the upper 20-foot hole, but you do really have to work for them.
Well, I'm going to troll for them. In those holes, there are gag grouper out there right now, and put a stretch 15 or a 20. Rapala makes a great one. Bomber makes a great one. Mans makes a great one. Get a lure that goes probably a little deeper than what you want it to, and then crank it up a little tighter.
Right.
And exactly. It's almost great for it to be kissing the bottom, but it's a little tough, and you will lose them. And
yeah.
These lures run anywhere from $10 to $20 a piece. I'd say average around 13, and that's a lot of money to lose. So I'm letting it tap the bottom. Watch my rod tip.
At least you feel like you got something out of that lure. It's this big, you know, it's 8-10 inches long for $13-$15 versus a guy.
You can buy a little Yozuri one for $15 right. bucks, and you're looking at it like, why is this worth $15 when the Bombers over there is $5 and the Rapalas are $8 and Storm $6?
Exactly.
What makes that worth so much money? Somebody's idiotic idea. Whoa, we'll just screw them over on that lure. And that's just what they're doing. They're just raping us.
Yeah.
It's a rape and pillage thing. How much?
That's a pretty package, though.
Yeah, it is a pretty package. I'll give them that. They spent a lot of money on packaging.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but out in the middle of the harbor, you got the stretch lures. And these are depth-specific, where, you know, Mann's makes a stretch, and then Rapala has a name for it, Bomber has a name for it, but they're all depth-specific. And it's going to be marked on the box, 10 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet. I would go with maybe the 15, but I'm going to probably say the 20s.
Yeah.
And just put one on each side of the boat, one in each one of the rod holders, and go at it idle. Get your baits down about 2 miles an hour, bump up to about 3, and watch your rod tips. As you start to bounce, you're digging the bottom. Come up 1-2 cranks, watch your tips. As soon as the tips steady out, that's where you want to be. Because you want to be as close as possible at bottom, making as much noise as possible. The lures are not going to be far behind the boat. So, you know, get them down there and just cruise through. Go from the 20-foot hole, just beeline towards the middle hole. Try and work the length of the 20-foot hole, the length of the middle hole, and do not try and do it at the Pirate Harbor hole. There's too much debris on the bottom. You will lose the lures.
Oh, in a skinny minute.
So if you're going to do trolling for the gag groupers, go there. Or over at the Artificial Reef. We do have keeper-sized gag grouper on the concrete reef just off Alligator Creek.
Yeah, and that can be super productive trolling it. You just got to dial it in where you're staying on that outside edge around the whole perimeter of it, because going straight down the center gets
the gags don't hang out in the structure. They're out 20, 30 feet away from it.
Yeah, oh yeah, they'll swim quite a ways from it, especially if they get startled by something. They like to swim away from the structure half the time and hide out in the sand rather than going up inside of it.
So, well, I think that kind of wraps up this area fishing report for right now. It is, let's see, July 1st. Wow, it's a Tuesday, and it's the 1st of July, the very 1st of July. Not that it's the 1st July, but it is the 1st of this July.
First of this one.
Yes. Caesar would be proud. So, anyway, we only got a few days before the 4th. Well, it's Julius Caesar, right?
Yeah.
That's where the month was named for.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we've got a few days before the 4th. We're going to try and get you in a fishing report on Friday so that you got, if you're going out for the fireworks, we're going to give you the rundown on what's going on around here by the bridges, what you should take, what kind of baits you're going to need to, and what kind of fish is hitting there. So we're going to do another area fishing report, kind of concentrating on, okay, we're going to go take the boat to the fireworks.
Absolutely.
And
plus, it's a long weekend. There will be a lot of people going out, and after this little depression goes past us, it might slick up really nice and beautiful weather for, you know, opening weekend of gag grouper.
Yeah, this depression is going to help us and probably hurt the Carolinas, but we'll see. But anyway, let me see where we're at, and let's maybe do a little bit of this. Ah, yes. Another radio fishing comes to a close. It's a sad, happy, sad, happy. It's 1st of July. Sad end of radio fishing. Okay. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. And that's Robert in the chair across from me. And we appreciate you guys listening. And like I say, we're going to make sure we do an area fishing report Friday. We're going to kind of feature what to do going to the fireworks. So
I like it.
We'll see you or hear you. If not before, we're going to try and do a show or two before Friday. But if not, we'll catch us again Friday. We'll talk to you later. Bye, guys.